And a special welcome to Chitra and Anurad from Nepal, who are in our midst today. They've come an awful long way to be here among us. You've perhaps heard us speak of New Life Church in Kathmandu and our support for Chitra and Anurad. So we're going to hear a bit about them later on and a bit from them. The video beforehand, as we were sitting waiting for the start, was some of their young people doing a gospel song and dance called Gau Gau Hudai. So thank you very much to them for being here today.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.
The next reading is John 1, 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit came down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Yvonne and Jean, for those readings. I was speaking a week or two back about why we should share the good news, what the good news is. And today I just want to ask briefly, what is the good news? What is the gospel? John very simply pointed to Jesus, didn't he? John the Baptist just said, look, there's the Lamb of God, the one who is going to take away the sin of the world. So the gospel, the good news, is a person. It's Jesus. It's not a philosophy. It's not any sort of theory or anything like that. It's basically Jesus himself. What did Jesus tell people when he came preaching to Galilee? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then he said to people, follow me. That's how he called his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. The good news is Jesus himself. And so all the things that people object to about Christian faith are often the failings of human beings, aren't they? Of the church or of individuals who've hurt them or whatever. But if we can tell people about Jesus, then the gospel will really be good news for them. I think that's part of the attraction of our Who Cares mission that we've been doing over the past few months. We ask people, what hurts the most? What concerns you the most? And people tell us all kinds of different things that worry them or concern them or even hurt them. And then we tell them about Jesus. We tell them that we care, but more importantly, God cares. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus. So what does this person need? What does this individual seek in our world? Often Jesus can bring them the love, the care, the help that they need. The old method, perhaps, that many of us grew up with was to begin by telling people that they're in trouble, that they're sinners, that they need help, and then to tell them the solution. I learned it was ABC. Admit your sin, believe in Jesus, commit your life to him. But a lot of people criticize that now because it starts negatively. It begins with bad news. Some even said that we created guilt in people. We manufactured a problem that then needed solving. I think much more helpful these days is to begin with where people are, with their own perception of God. Tom Wright, who many of us I know have read his books, and this is a lovely one called Simply Christian. Tom Wright explains it like this. He says, in the heart of every human being, there are echoes of God's creation in them. People have, for example, a passion for justice. When children cry out, it's not fair, then often they have that inner sense, don't they, of what's right and what's wrong. Where does that come from? Or perhaps we have a hunger for spirituality. Often people will say today, oh, I'm not religious, Vicar, I'm not religious at all. But people are still seeking for something beyond what they can see and touch. We have a hunger for spirituality and spiritual things. People have a longing for relationships, says Tom Wright in this book. We long for community. It's one of the things that the church can offer, actually. The body of Christ is that relationship, not only with God, but also with one another. And lastly, says Tom, we have a dream of beauty. People have a sense of something beyond this life, perhaps heaven itself. And so God has put into our hearts those echoes of his kingdom, of his heaven. So I want to ask Chitra and Anurod perhaps to come out now and tell us, when you tell people the good news of Jesus, what do you say? How do you explain the gospel and the good news of Jesus? Anurod, tell us.
When we share gospel to the people, we tell to them, God loves you and God forgives your sins. Even though you are very sinner, he loves you. And even if you die, you will have eternal life. Because Hindu and the Buddhist people, they have a conception that they will take a rebirth and reincarnate it. We tell to the people there is no any rebirth or incarnation. After the death, there is a judgment. It's appointed by God. So if you believe in Jesus, you have a new hope. And you have a good life or eternal life. So we tell these things as a good news to the people.
Yeah, as Pastor Anurudh is saying, and the same thing, people in Nepal, everybody has some kind of faith, especially Hindu people and Buddhist people. It's easy to present them what is about good news. Good news is that we tell them the God came coming in earth to love them, to care for them, to forgive their sin. Good news is that we tell them that even though they die, they will go to heaven, and they will reign with God. The good news is that when they are ill, when they are sick, when they are in problem, God will care them. Indeed, in Nepal, majority of people, they come in faith, they convert their life because God healed them. There is no hospital, nothing else. Only the way is that God heals them. If they are not believers, they go to the witch doctor to be cured. They have to spend lots of money. But in Jesus, they don't have to pay anything else. And Jesus, he paid the life for them. So they've been healed, so they come to the church. And even in this earth, there will be good life. And also, even though they die, they will have an eternal life. This is the good news for them. So that's why many people are drawing in Jesus. Though we are not allowed to preach the gospel publicly, but God is doing miraculous things to bring the people in his kingdom. And so that's why government is frightened, because of many people are drawing to Jesus. So please, thank you very much for praying for them as they are growing in faith. Thank you very much.
When Chitra and Anurudh landed at Heathrow, they were grilled, interrogated by immigration, and they were asked, "Are you coming to Britain to preach?" And they had to say, no, we're not preaching, because that's work and you're not allowed to do work in Britain. So you're just hearing them speaking about Jesus. It's not preaching. Is that very clear? But Pastor Anurudh, would you tell us how you came to faith? What is your testimony? What's your story?
So I would like to share my testimony very briefly. I am Anurudh Lama. I'm born in Christian family. Lama means, the Buddhist priest. My grandfather was a Buddhist priest in a monastery. Later on, he became a Christian. Then I got a title, Lama. And when I was a child, there was no school in my village. I just looking cattle of my parents. And later on, my parents, they came to know there is a Christian hostel at the south part of the Nepal. So I was taken there for my study. So as I began to grow, there was fellowship I used to attend there. And I came to know there is a God, Jesus loves me. So I accepted Christ at the age of the 10. And while I was growing, I was thinking that I must be a Gurkha army. Like, many Gurkha armies are here in your country. But my parents, they wanted me to be a head teacher in a school. But God had another plan. God wanted me to put in the ministry. So times were passing. My father was arrested by the government of Nepal because of his faith, and he was put into the prison for 3 years. At that time, I thought and I decided myself, no, I must be the ministry, I must serve the Lord, I must save the people. So that's why I decided to go to the Bible college after my school. In 1994, I went to Bible college in India, because in our country, there wasn't any Bible colleges or any school. So I went there and I studied. In 1997, I finished my Bible school. And then I went back to my village and I held to my pastor, and my father was also the release. And I served them in my church. Then I moved to, in 1999, in Kathmandu, and we started a church. And since that day, we are working together, as you have seen in the video, our ministries. So up to this day, the Lord is doing a great work through our life. At last, I would like to thank you so much for your prayers and your contribution to go on our ministries in Nepal. Thank you.
This is the song, comes from actually India. Nepalese language and the Indian language is very similar. It says, would you bless to my church, O God? Would you bless my family, O God? Would you bless my nation, O God? Maybe let us start from the family. Would you bless to my family, O God? Would you bless to my family, O God? Would you bless to my family? Would you bless to my family? Would you bless to my family, O God? Would you bless to my church, O God? Would you bless to my church, O God? Would you bless to my church? Would you bless to my church? Would you bless to my church, O God? Would you bless to my nation, O God? Would you bless to my nation, O God? Would you bless to my nation? Would you bless to my nation? Would you bless to my nation, O God? Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.